Okay. Just for Nava Dinavat Sterna. Okay, so basically again, so okay, so what we're saying is that this night is unique in the fact that it's really going from extremes. We're talking extremes here. On one hand, we're talking about the servitude and the difficulty of the servitude. And then on the other hand, v'chelik mehen morin al chiras hamuflag, right? We're talking about this incredible, you know, special, unique liberty and freedom. Now, ubir ha'inyan yuvan, kasher nitbonein begodel kishrei hashibud v'hachoshech hakashesh ha'id mitzrayim legufos Yisrael. So to explain this, so if we think about the intensity of and the difficulty of the servitude and the darkness that we physically experienced in Egypt, shenishtavdu b'chomer u'bilavenim b'chol avadosam asher avdu b'hem b'farach, right, that we were forced into this difficult labor with, you know, they're talking about the bricks, right, and all the work that we had to do and that we were really pushed hard. Kevon shebizman halazo, his gabru kochos hatuma al shorish nishpatan shel Yisrael lamala. So what was happening, there's a physical reality, but there's also the spiritual reality. At the same time as that difficulty and the servitude that was going on, there was also this incredible power of the powers of the tuma that were able to overtake the root of the neshamas of Yisrael above. So this is while we're here down on the ground having this experience, above there is this crazy darkness that takes place in terms of the tuma taking over our spiritual beings. Kamo shehayah lamala kenasa lamata. So what was happening below is reflected above, or what was happening above was reflected below. Sheparo harasha v'amitzrim shehayu hamerkava lahaklipa. Right, so who are Paro, the evil one, right, and the Egyptians were a conduit. L'klipa hatamea shenishdabdu begufos Yisrael. So they were facilitating this the other side, the shell of tuma, right, that was mishdabed our bodies. Now,
today aren't we not allowed to live in Egypt?
True. There is something like that, right? There's halacha, even though the Rambam talks about there are exceptions, but you know, he himself lived in Egypt, although there are references to him not being so happy about that. But so there might be a physical reality to the spiritual, but then again, it's like the same thing. You know, today it's much more felt like going back to Europe and going to a place like Poland or Germany, right? So you feel that, you know, they're so clearly. Based on what he's saying here, can you imagine what was going on in during the Holocaust? Meaning, we experienced this darkness below, the darkness that must have been going on above, in terms of the tuma, the koach tuma that was miskaber on us above was reflected below. So it's a scary thought as to what was going on. So now, the ofen hiskabrusam haita. So their ability to overcome or to overlord us, ki paro harasha osios ha'eref. Paro, right? If you look at his name, could be those four letters can be rearranged to spell ha'oref, which is the neck. So yinikaso haitam yibichinas hadas de klipa ha'omedes neged hadas de kedusha de mekoma ba'oref. So. His power is coming from the side of the klipa, das de klipa, which is on the side, right? So if you have das de kedusha, which is the mind, so the back of the mind is going to be the back of the neck. Where's makom kesher hatfillin, right? So where we put where the knot of the tefillin sits, so over there was going to be that's the place. Of where he's coming, he's getting his power from. The Gullus Mitzrayim Hayami Lashon Meitzar Hagaron. It's the idea of the tightening of the throat. Lefisha achizatam haya lamala b'sharish nishmas Yisrael b'makam ha'oref b'meitzar hagoren k'dimyon davar hanitchav b'nischav b'meitzar hagoren shemizeh nechna kol haguf. So, like, if you think about it, right? So, like, at this place over here, where the neshama is connecting to the body. So that's where they go to really squeeze, so to speak. It's like it's where the person chokes. That's where the attack is coming from. So v'yadua shebechinas hadas hi hamekasherat hamochin shebrosh el hamido shebegof. Das is the connector between the upper part, right? So chachma, bina, and then das is the teferes kaviyachal. Right? We said that's the thing that bridges to the below. So therefore we know that das is the thing that takes the consciousness of the rosh and connects it to the body. Ach kasher nechna kagaron aide paro b'mitzrayim. But while we were being choked by paro and the Egyptians lo yuchlu or hamochin shebarosh lehitpashet v'lahair l'toch haguf. So since they were knocking, they were choking us, so to speak, they were preventing the light of the awareness and the consciousness of the upper mind of the upper part of the soul. So it was not able to come into and illuminate the body. Hainu behamidos hakadoshos, right, through the which ultimately comes into the lower seven, right? Vayideze nigram lamata shenechshachu einayim shel Yisrael ba'olam hazeh. So what the outgrowth of this was that you had a darkening of the eyes of the Jewish people under the shibud of Paro and the Egyptians. Ad shenaflu tachas haklipa letok memta shari tuma. So if you think about it, if a person can't breathe, you fall into, you know, it's like you just drop. So by not being able to connect to the source of the upper Mochin, the upper awareness, consciousness, etc. So what ended up happening is it had us falling into this abyss of the 49 levels of Tumah. V'hine k'dei lihigal miklipa zo. So in order to be redeemed or to be saved from this klipa, from this evil force, nitzrach l'ha'ir l'mata or ha'gadol shel hadalad mochin k'fi ha'seder haroi. So now we learned by Purim. I don't know if you remember. By Purim, we had a piece that talked about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, there was like, here we were in this dark place, and then it came from the upper level, Chachma, straight down, without the different normal, called the filtering system. So now it's kind of a little bit in that direction, right? So now in order to be saved from the Klipa, there needed to be an enlightening Lamata or HaGadol, there had to be an illumination of the Dalad Mochen kefi haseder haroi, shehem katnas rishon, vigadlas rishon, katnas sheni vigadlas sheni. So this is an interesting process. It's going to go from the smallness to an expansion, to another constriction or smallness, to then an ultimate larger expansion. Vikfi riboy haor shateirid kach yudcha hachoshach. So as there's this incredible amount of light that is coming down, that will push away the darkness. V'titbatel haklipa hamenagedet yoter v'yoter. And then it will wipe away, it will nullify the klipa that's running counter. Okay, so you have, so we have this incredible powerful force of the klipa, of the negative energy of Toma, that is a major at play during this whole period of time. And then through the process of the Geula, we're going to have light that's going to come down through, and it's going to kind of nullify and obliterate the darkness that the Klipa represents. So look at Os Hey just for a second. So he says here, godless, where he goes from the smallness to the big, to godless Rishon. So look what he says, Kadnas Avoda Biyira, Godless Rishon, Avoda Me'ava. And then Godless Sheni Devekus. Isa B'kisvei HaRizal. Da Seder, so the Seder, and the Arba Kosos, V'hamitzos heima miramzim al katnus rishon v'gadlus rishon katnus sheni v'gadlus sheni. Ekasav b'mor v'shemesh lasbir v'lavinzot ech shayach zeh b'chol adam. Right, so we're going to go through this process, and each one of us can experience this. It's not like for, you know, reserved for some special class, but each of us can I was able to reach this because it says from my flesh I was able to see Hashem. Okay, so now I'm going back into the middle instead of the side here. Going back to the middle. So now you have the mushals to a child, a little child that's born. Sheyesh bo tekef mochin de katnas. Right? So when a child is born, he's got very small, very limited awareness. Shegam she'en lo das. Right? He has no das when he's first born. Im kozeh bochek sheyesh lo tzar v'chadome. But nevertheless, will cry when he's missing something, when he has a pain. Or if he's like hungry, right? V'achar kach kishe mitgadel, as it grows, v'yachalasad pu'ulot v'ledaber diburim karoi, as it's able to do actions and able to express itself, azai smechim lekrato shemitnahei kemo gadol, right? So we're so happy to see that he's like, you know, finally acting like an adult or similar to an adult, let's say. Zenikra godless rishon. So that's already now the first level of growth, we'll call it. Okay, so he has already an expanded awareness, but then and it gets older. So now what happens? Immaturity, right? So azaihu b'matzav shel katnas sheni. So now, okay, so it's like you reach a level, wow, look how big and mature. But then the reality is that not really. So shel gabi matzavo yesh lo rak mochin de katnas. He's still really, meaning compared to where he's coming from, you're talking already a level, but not really. V'kasher mitgadel yoter. No, but as this person develops more, umagielo mochin de gadlus vishlemos. Now already is a really mature, let's call it an adult at this point, where there is a maturation of the mochin of the awareness and the understanding of more of a complete awareness. Ze nikra gadlus sheni. That's already the second level. That's already really mature. Vine. Hamochin should the gadla shall haklal Yisrael who hamuna hatahora. The true, let's call it mochin, that of where we are in a place of true awareness. That's when we have pure amuna. She called echad yodeo makir shal Hashem Yisbarach haya hove v'iya mahavikol havoyes v'cholanim son v'in od mavada. Right. So when we are in the proper place, our amuna is like complete. We each know, right? We recognize Hashem is transcendental, right? He makes everything happen. He is the all and end all. And from that, right, is the expression of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right. So when we get to that place of where we recognize Hashem is, for all that we just described, that's already. We've gotten to the place of godless sheni. V'kmo shehu b'yitziras ha'adam she'enu mitgadol b'pam achas. Right, we're mammals. Right, we are bored and we have to develop. It's a whole development process. Rak nimshach zman shel esrim shana hitgadel. Takes almost 20 years to get to adulthood. V'seder shel katnas rishon v'godless rishon. Right, so we go through this smallness, this kadness, this infantile stage, only to then get to a higher level, but not to be that, only to really go back to the v'achar kach kadna sheni v'gadla sheni. Kein hu b'yitziras ha'uma ha'yisraelis. So the same way that we have the maturation of a person, so too we have the maturation of Klal Yisrael. Sh'ayitzrich l'isgadel b'hagdara. We had to go through a process, the kabel ha'mochin la'at la'at. We had to go through bit by bit. Because if we'd have done it in one shot, there would be no kiyum, right? There would be no long-lasting impact. The Alkain, so therefore, Kishahayu b'nei Yisrael b'shibud hakasha b'chomer u'bilavenim shahaya hadas b'galos v'lo yadu et Hashem klal. So therefore, what when the Jewish people were in Egypt and were going through the slavery and the difficulties, and they were going through this oppression, our consciousness and awareness was completely in exile, and we did not even know of Hashem at all. As hayu b'bechinas kadnas rishon. So at that point, we were like babies. We were like, had no awareness whatsoever. Sheher aleim rak Hashem Elokim b'gematria hateva. So at that point, the name of Hashem that they understood was Elokim, was that of nature. Right, so Elohim equals nature. Going back to creation, the first 32, in the first chapter of Bereshis, when we have the creation story, it's only Shem Elohim, right? It's all Elohim. That's nature. It's only later that the name Yud Kei Vav Kei becomes mixed in. Dahainu Shein Roen Rak HaTeva Kemo Shehu. All we saw was nature. Belishum Hasaga Shehavoya Mistater Hashem, right? We had no awareness of Yud Kei Vav Kei of Hashem. If we had it, it was Elohim, it was the God of nature. The Derech Seder Hagadlasu, so how did we mature? Sh'achar kach mit'alin l'darga yoter elyona, sh'matchil eda sh'yesh manhig l'bira, that we understood now, we get to this level, we understood that there's someone running the show, right? As it says that Avram looked and saw this the world and said, where is the person running the show here, because there's got to be someone running it, right? So where's the Balabira? So we at least understood that there's something there. V'az magin l'gadlus rishon. U'me'ira Hashem havaya. So we got to a level where we could see that there was something there. Aval adayin eno b'bihira taroi. But there was still a lack of clarity. L'chein noflin achar kach l'katnus sheni. So then we fell back. It's like you take two steps forward, you fall back. Shehu osios hakodmos l'shem Elokim shehem ach tadam. Okay, the ach tadam is right. The letters that come before it. So aleph has no aleph in front of it. Then you have, if you see, it's like you're going Elokim back to ach tadam. Sheremi shahagam shekfar yodeh she'ena teva kipshuto. So it's like we know that this is not the nature we see is not run of the mill. It's not that straightforward. The Yeshkoch Elyon Hakodemes LaTeva. There's something that preceded this world. Avaladain Eino Makir at Boro Kiroi. But we still don't really get Hashem properly. The Eino Chai Im Hamuna Hakdosh. So it's still, we say, there's something here. There's something more to this story, but I still don't have that clarity. I'm lacking the clarity. Va'achar Kach Yishem Agin LeGad LeSheni. But when we got to the second level. Shehu Haras Hashem Avoya Baruchu Begad Lusa Vishle Musa. Now we see God's name in its expansiveness and in its wholeness. As Meir Or Ha'emuna Hatahora Bebihiros Gadol. And then we see the light of Emuna that's pure with clarity. Shekol Echad Yodei Umargish Ein Od Milvado, that we recognize that there is nothing but Hashem. Nothing in this world moves without Hashem's hashkacha, and Hashem is powering the whole thing. So that's the second level. So the first level, we said, what is that? The sense that there's something a little bit more to the story. But when we get to the second level, we have a clarity. Now we understand what's running the show. Achayot shebnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim higyu ad shari maves maror gematria maves. So here we are, we're in Egypt, and we got to the level of the gates of death, i.e. there's a certain bitterness because of the goat mi godel hamim rirus vashibud hagashmi varuchani, because of the immensity. Paul, how good was that? Immensity? It's good, right? Hagodel. Mi godel hamariros. Right, from the immensity of the bitterness. I get excited when I can translate like a real good English word and then now it's like nice. So mi godel hamariros. Vahashibud hagash mi haruchni. Right, so both the servitude or the difficulty that we experience both on the physical and on the spiritual plane. Lachein lo haita b'efshari l'galam b'ofen haroi b'hadraga. So what happens if we're at such a low level there wasn't the opportunity to be redeemed or to redeem us in a normal, metered way. Because we're here at this lowest level, we're at the point of no return. Right? So if we would have waited even another second, we would have been stuck there forever. We would never have been able to get out. Come on, really can't get out? So the truth is, if you look today, you know, you meet people and they're so assimilated that really, if you wait another half generation, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're like, they don't even know. All they know is that they had a Jewish relative somewhere down the chain, but they're gone, right? So you get to a point where you're so that mamish, we were there at that level where if we wouldn't have left, we would have been lost forever. So because of God's great love for us, his close nation, his right, so v'laman hakim et divrei hatov asher nishba l'avoseinu, in order for him to be able to fulfill his promise to our forefathers, dileg ataseid ala seder. So he actually changed, or he jumped over the normal course of how things should go. V'pasach ala petach, and he passed over the opening. V'heir lehem tekef or gadol v'nifla v'petah pitom. Boom. He sends us this light in an instant. Et ha'or ha'gadol shel mochin de godless sheni, right? He had to send us already the awareness of godless sheni, of the clarity of yud kei vav kei. U'mibnei riboy ha'or ha'nifla sheba bepeta u'mihiros, and because of this abundance of light, this wondrous light that came within a matter of an instant, nifka ha'goron, it literally cleared the blockage that was there. He completely removes that. So now, all of a sudden, you have the light coming in to the where beforehand we were not getting any source of light through from the Chabad, from the upper level into the lower level. So now, in that moment, he pushes it through. And ba'osa rega yatsu gam gufos Yisrael lamata mitachas yad parvim Yisrael lamata b'olmazeh. Okay, so firstly, what we just described, what was happening above, not what we're talking about below, but up in the upper realms, you had this reconnect where Hashem thrust through whatever blockage is the klipa of tuma was happening above. Now all of a sudden, you have an opening. Hashem clears it. It's like, you know, not to be crass, but you have like a blockage in your sink, right? And you get the plumber and he snakes it out and boom, the water flows again. So what he's saying is that mamish, that's the pipe was completely sealed and the flow that needed to come through was we were totally cut off to the point where we're not getting any type of that power of the purity of that light.
That's like the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah. So to his analogy here, right? For sure, right? So he reopens this channel. So at that moment, uba'osa rega yatsu gam gufos Yisrael lamata mitachas yad parav v'mitzrayim lamata b'almazeh. So at that moment, so what's incredible? What he's telling us here is such an important thing. Whatever's happening below has a corresponding power above that's going on. So sometimes, like, you know, you have these situations where people, like, you're feeling blockage. It's very possible that the blockage is something that's above, that we dive into, like, open those up. You know, if we're attuned to these things, it's like there are people that can sense that there's something that needs to be cleared above. And then what happened was is that we had the clearing above, and then we felt it below. And at that point, at that moment in time, it physically felt that we were no longer subjugated to power in the Egyptians. How? Through receiving this gift of the light of Emuna, this incredible abundance of light, with the, of clarity, the Yadu Es Hashem. And at that moment, it's like with the lightning, right? The lightning strikes and it lights up the sky, and there was a moment of clarity. V'ratzu achar Hashem Yisbarach, k'moshe kasav lechtech achar b'midbar b'eretz lo zarah. We ran after Hashem, as it says, that we ran after, we went after Hashem in the midbar, in a place that's not planted. Right, we went without any calculations. There were no stipulations. We just went. Ach, heyot she yitron ha'or hagadol halazeh ba pitom shelo ala seder. So now, since this light, this incredible light, came suddenly, without the normal process, v'shalo aide masenu, and we didn't do anything, kilo hayiruyim l'neis b'yotam arum v'arya b'li mitzvos, we weren't basically naked, we had nothing really, we had nothing, we didn't do anything yet, right? We're completely, we have nothing going in terms of skios. L'chein lo hayta kiyum l'oros hahim. So when it's not done in this normal, healthy way of katnas rishon to godless rishon to katnas sheni to godless sheni, but rather jumped the stages, so then what happens? V'lo nisharu b'madregas hagadol halazu shazachu l'abalei al Pesach. So he doesn't stay with us. Therefore what? V'hotzrachu lisbor mechadash chamishim yom. We have to count 50 more days. Now we have to work our way up the normal way. Madrega, Madrega. That's why we have the 49 days to the 50th, and in there we have the seven sevens, right? So we go Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, Netzachod, Yisod, and then through that Malchus, we're going through that though, it's Chesed, the Chesed, Chesed, the Gvurah, right? We're working our way through. Both in Yeridas Haor, Bechol Yom, Beprotos, Mevuar, Besiatim, Shmai, Besif Sechein, Mahalan, Akdama Yudalad. All right, so we have to look at that, at the Sif Sechein, in the Hakdama Yudalad, which talks about the 7 weeks of the Sphira. Okay. V'lachein, Anachnu Am Bnei Yisrael, Asher Ritzoneinu Legalot V'Lisaper, Tokef Hanes Asher Asa Imanu Hashem Yisparach Behotzianu Mimitzrayim Me'afil Lar Gadol. So we, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, which our desire is to be able to reveal and to talk about the greatness of the miracle that God did for us as he took us out of Mitzrayim from the darkness to the light, the great light. Anu mechuvanim lesaper v'laso zecher af lebechinas hachoshech hagadol. Right, so this is going back to what he said at the beginning. Why are we doing this night of extreme opposites? Because so we're doing it is now, we're going to go from the bechinas hachoshech hagadol, the Shibud HaKashash Hayalan Mitzrayim. We're going to talk about the darkness and the difficulty that we had in Egypt. Kidei, in order, Avin Yitron Ora Mehachoshach, to understand the difference between the light and the darkness. Asher Lefi Erech HaKashash Hayitzarach Liyot Yitron Ora Gadol Me'ot. So the darker it got, is the greater the light, right? So in order to appreciate that contrast, right? So we go from these extremes of darkness to light. The darker, therefore the greater the light. The alkane, and therefore anu osim b'layla hazeh mitzos hafachios. That's why we go and we do mitzos that are literally opposites. Misad echad osin pu'ulos hamorin cheiros v'gula. Therefore we do things that talk about the idea of redemption and freedom and liberty. Kamo, achilas matzah. Eating the matzah, mora al shalo hispik b'tzeikam shal v'sinu lachmitz ad shenigala aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'galam. Right, there was not enough time for it to rise until the Hashem took us out. Right, this incredible, you know, the idea of that incredible pulling us out within moments. Also, the four kosas moran al arba l'shonas shagula v'chatzala. The four kosas are corresponding to the four languages of redemption and saving and being saved. Then also the two dippings, Romzim Derech Cheros also, Ki Kain Derech HaMalachim L'Tabel HaMachalin, right? So the act of kings is to do a lot of dipping, I guess, of their while they're eating. And then Mitzvah Saseba, Shadu Noagim Kibnei Malachim Lechol HaBeh Seba Derech Cheros, right? So then we lean, we recline like we're royalty, right? So again, to symbolize our freedom, but to the corresponding or the opposite side, lumadze osim pulos hamiramizan al galos v'miros, right? We also have things that are indicative or are symbolic of the fact that we were in exile and we were in a very, very bitter place. Like it says, achilas karpas, no trikon, shishim perach. The Ramez, shishim ribo b'nei Yisrael avdu avodas haperach. That there were 600,000 Jews that had to work very difficult work. Tibulo b'mei melach, o b'chometz, or the dipping in the salt water or in vinegar. Again, also, it's Marashahi Mishubadim Tachas Ma'avel Chometz, right? So that we're in this very bitter place. They're also eating the Mara Al Godel Meriros Hashivud is the symbolic of the bitterness of the servitude. Mara Gematria Mavis Shahi Elohim Oz Mara Mimavis. It was even worse. It was more bitter than death. And then also Tibula Becharoses Echelatit. Romez Gamkin al Koshi Hashibud Shanishtabdu Bechomer Vilavenim, right? So here you have the difficulty of the tar, right? Again, really just bring us back to the difficulty of that we were under this of having to work in such difficult conditions. Mikasher Zachinu Ladas Shivalai Lahazeh. So now, on this night, when we're zocha to the ability to have das, shebalai lahazeh naaseh shinui gadol min hakatze lakatze. So we have, like, really, we go on this night, we go from such extremes, mechashkes hagamor l'tachlis ha'ora, from the most absolute darkness to the most incredible light. Yuvan hatam she'omrim halal l'lel pesach. So now we understand why we say halal on the night of Pesach. We never say Hallel at night. Why? This is the one time during the year that we say Hallel at night. We never say Hallel at night. When do we say Hallel? When there's light, when there's clarity. So what are we doing at night saying Hallel? But because on the night of Pesach, because the abundance of light that came down to us on this night, we had light in everywhere we were. Ad shehalayla hazeh halaz haya meir kibeemtza yom tkufas tamas. It's like we were sitting like the middle of the summer. Like the complete illumination. V'zenase v'chol shana v'shana b'leil Pesach shemira halayla v'pnimius nishmas Yisrael. So every year on this night of Pesach, we have this incredible illumination on this night in the inner part of our neshamos. And that in the future, God willing, we'll also be able to experience this in the external world. But in the spiritual realm, we have this incredible abundance of light that it comes in to the Jewish people on the night of Pesach. So that when we come to Motzei Shabbos this year, if we sensitize, if we let ourselves feel it, we'll be able to experience this incredible abundance of light, this incredible burst of spiritual energy that comes into the world on this night. V'lachin yachon lomar halal shalom. That's why we say a full halal. Ki b'layla hazeh me'ir ha'or ha'gadol b'yoter. It's on this night that we have this incredible, incredible illumination. Or shel harat kol hadalin miluyi hashem havoya. A light that it basically illuminates the four Dalet Milui Hashem Havoy, right? So the different we talked about this in the past of the idea of the Yudke Vavke, that Shem Yudke Vavke can be Milui, right? We talked about Yud, the Vav, the Hey, spell it out, and there are different ways of doing that, right? So here it's saying that, but that's an expression of the complete expansion, the complete, it's like you're taking something and you blow it up to the point of where it's completely expanded to be what it can potentially be. So we take the shem yudke vavke and it's dalad miluyim. It's like this is the complete, it's like the truest expression of it. Shehu ha'or ha'ganos misheshes yimei bereishis. So this light is the light that Hashem, when it says vayihi or, and then Hashem took that light and he hid it, that light of what is that light? It was the light of clarity. So shehi or masofa olam v'ad sofa, right? So that Adam HaRishon was able to see things for what they were. So that light was hidden, but it's that light that is coming out on the night of Pesach. Mishum shehaor hagadol hazeh ma'atchil ha'ir tekef b'tchilas ha'layla. So when does this light start? You know when it starts? When it, at the beginning of the night. The beginning of on Motzei Shabbos, God willing, we'll be able to experience that starts when night comes in. And therefore, lachein omrim ha'halal tekef achar tfilas ma'ar b'beis ha'medrash. So we have a minhag to say halal in shul, right? So those guys that run out, no, stay, like, say halal in shul. This is the first year. You're ready to, like, can say it now. Ki pnimius hamochen de gadlus kfar yardu l'ha'ir b'shas tfilas ma'ar v'halal. Because, again, the inner of the spiritual expansion of the consciousness comes down into the world at that time. It already begins to enter this realm at the time of Marv. And so therefore you say halal. And so what are we doing at the night of the Seder? We're working towards the ability to be able to take in. Right? We should have the vessel. We should have the ability to, like, take in these incredible inspiration, this incredible power, this incredible energy that's coming into the world. And so that it should make an impact. It should be so impactful. It should stick with us for the entire 49 days that lead us towards Shavuos. Right? So it should stick with us. This incredible light that we're able to experience on the night of the Seder. Zegam kenatam shemalikim b'leil Pesach neiros gedolos lahoros al ha'oros hagdolos hamirim b'leil hazeh. So I guess there was a minhag to light a lot of candles on the night of Pesach, big lights, in order to show, like, it was symbolic of the incredible light that was coming, spiritual light that's coming in on this night. V'atam shekoren oso osan ma nishtana licht. So this is the now. So we say, Manishtana, why is this night different? Diadua shahashem havaya hameir besfira teferet harome is the yom huba miloi alfin haole memhe. Right? So now it's interesting. So the shame, right? So the yud ke vav ke, right? So look at this. It's yud with the alephs, right? So now there are different ways. You could do hey hey, you could do hey aleph. So he's saying here that when it comes to, when you do the miloy of the shem yud kei vav kei, when it comes to tferes, that is, which is indicative of day, it's when you when you spell out the shem yud kei vav kei with alephs at the end, right? So then you do that, yud, yud, vav, dalet, hey, aleph, vav, aleph, vav, hey, aleph. So using the aleph as the miloy, as opposed to an hey or, right, other. So what's the gematria? Is 45. V'Hashem Havaya Hameir B'Sfirat Malchus Harom is Elai Lahu B'Miloi Hahin. Right? That's when you use the Hayes. Yud Vav Dalet Hey Hey Vav Vav Hey Hey Ha'ola Ben, which comes out to 52. V'Lachain, what do we do? Karin Oso Ma Nishtana Lecht Ma Mem Hey. Right? Because what are we talking about? Teferes. We're talking about the idea of light. Right, the illumination, right? So therefore, we're using the mem he. It's ma nishtana. Ma is nishtana. The mem he is different tonight. Shalayla hazeh nishtana mikol halelos shameir hashem b'miloy mem he kemo b'yom velo b'miloy ben kemo b'layla. So therefore, right here, so ma as opposed to ben. So here, what's special about this, ma is nishtana. It's the 45 that's different. The miloy of yudke vavke that's connected to teferes, which is the idea of day, ma is nishtana. It's the memhe that's different tonight than the normal ben, that are the 52, that you do a miloy of night. Because this is all about the day, about the idea of the abundance of light that's coming into the world on the night of the Seder. And so that's what, so now, like to summarize, right? So we're going from the extreme opposites to be able to feel or to experience that the extremes that occurred. The sad reality is that, but it's incredible, is that he's explaining the fact is that there was a certain thing that was lacking. The fact that Hashem had to take us out in such a rush and not allow us to go through the normal like development is something that, therefore, there's like a flash of light that only lasted for a short period that was not sustaining and needed for us to then continue in a path of the 49 to 50 to be able to get to Mamad Har Sinai. And even there probably is an element based on the way we acted 39, 40 days after that. So there was something that was lacking that we have to go through a process. But on this incredible thing is the incredible night of the Seder is that there's this incredible like opening of light that comes into the world. And so it's such a powerful type of evening that we have to get ourselves ready for. It's not something you just show up and say, okay, I'm here, let's go. But you have to, you know, we have to think about it. We have to work to be able to at least, you know, get excited for the, for that, for this incredible event.
It's similar to Purim.
Yeah, that's it. When I saw this, I was like, whoa, saw that before. And maybe that's like the idea is that you have this, so like the expression sometimes of love, like if it would have been like, okay, let's take it, let's go along, you know, we'll go. It's like I heard this analogy. So a guy is driving along, he's dating this girl, and he stops the car, he jumps out, and he goes and gets her a flower, right? Because he just wants to show his incredible love, right? So that's, you know, it's like pitom, like it's like that. Whereas if you go and you plan it out, so you get to the engagement, like, you know, the guy's been working on it for 3 months. He's been, you know, so when it gets to that moment, it's not the same as that boom, that moment of like out of, you know, just like that flash. So in a certain sense, like the night of the Seder is more of the first type of thing. Like Hashem like had to like do this quick act. And that act is an incredible, you know, it's symbolic of this incredible love that Hashem has for us. That's the night of, and we reciprocated by going along. We went for the ride, right? So we ran out with, you know, on this, it's like this incredible, you know, it's the beginning of a relationship, right? So that beginning is like
it's like a romance.
Yeah, it's what I mean. That's and, right. And, so
not to say it was leading up to the chuppah on Sinai after those 50 days, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's the whole idea.
Right.
I mean,
so there's clearly a development, right? So that it's a progression. But yeah, you see this. It's we're definitely like very immature at the time, and so I'll tell you something. I heard this incredible idea today. Such an incredible idea. So why do we ask questions on the night of the Seder? Right, a lot of different approaches. So I heard this beautiful idea today. So you know. I give a class and I have the same script and I give the class over and over again. It's pretty, you know, at a certain point it kind of gets stale, but what keeps it fresh is at the end of my presentation, I open the floor for questions. And then the questions breathe life into it. Why? Because now all of a sudden there's a vitality that was might have been lacking, but it's the question and answer that brings it to life, because now all of a sudden it's no longer reading off a script. It's completely spontaneous and it brings that freshness to it, right? So every year, the idea of the Seder is to be fresh. Like the first thing that God actually told us to do, where we became active participants in the story is when Hashem says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh Hashem. I need you to start counting time, and I want you to do this thing called Rosh Chodesh, so you're going to count things based on the moon and the idea of a cycle of something that goes to a point of where it restarts every month. So this idea of renewal, right? And then this idea of something being fresh. So when we come to the night of the Seder, it says, Yachal Me Rosh Chodesh, there's a Hava, meaning that we should start the story on the beginning of the month. But there's this idea that infused in this whole process is the idea that it should always stay fresh. And that's why the Seder is based on question and answer. Because the only way to really make it fresh is to have real spontaneous question and answer. So that whatever you talked about in the past, it doesn't matter. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it. Let's have some questions and answers. And so that should breathe that vitality and freshness into the Seder night. That's important in order to have this, you know, very vital, you know, again, the vitality and the freshness that should be there. So I thought that was kind of an interesting approach to the idea of why we're so into this question answer, manishtana and things of that nature. So it's Maz Nishtana, right?
Jonathan, can you just explain the part about the 45 and the Manishtana?
Sure, okay. So he says like this, that when it comes to Shin Yud Ke Vav Ke, we talk about the Miloy. What a Miloy means is the idea is to fill, right? To fill the word. So Miloy is when we take a word and we spell out each letter as if it's its own word. So, for example, Yud Ke Vav Ke is the Yud is Yud Vav Dalet is Yud, spells Yud, right? Then the next one is Hey is how. So the question is, how do you fill the Hey? You can fill it with an Aleph. You can fill it with a Hey. And then the next one is Vav. Could be Vav Vav. It could be Vav Aleph Vav. And the other is Hey Aleph, right? So the first. So what he explained is that when you fill the word with the Aleph, which is the top, aluf is high. So then that is the way that you express Tiferes in the Shem Yud Ke Vav Ke in its Miloy. So the idea is taking the Shem of Hashem and in its expansive expression, you have different ways of it being expressed in its expansiveness. So one way is by using an aleph, and one way is using a hey. Tiferes, which is usually connected to more of this daytime clarity, has the Aleph as the way that you fill it. If you were to then do the gematria of Yud Ke Vav Ke with the Aleph as the Miloy, it comes out to 45, which is Mem He. Mem He is 45. Mem is 40, He is 5. So that's 45. So he's saying you also could do the Miloy of Yud Ke Vav Ke with He's. That would be Malchus. That's the receiver. So He, Aleph is like from above, the hay is from below, right? You have the hay tata. See, this is the lower hay, malchus, the receiver. So if you were to take the same milu of yud ke vav ke using hays, so then it's yud vav dalet, hey hey, vav vav, because there's nothing in the middle, and then hey hey. You do the gematria of that, it comes out to 52, which is ben. Okay? So malchus, though, is more associated with the night. Because it's this world. This world is of darkness. The upper world is that that's illuminated. So he's saying that on the night of Pesach, what's incredible is that Hashem took this incredible spiritual light and he just opened it up. And he just like, it was like, it's like the lightning. It's like it illuminated the sky. So in the spiritual realm, there's an incredible burst of energy that comes into the world on the night of the of Pesach, Laila Rishon. And that's expressed in the Yud Ke Vav Ke being spelled with the Aleph. So that's Gematria. That's connected. Again, that's Teferis. That's the Teferis aspect of Yud Ke Vav Ke with the Miloy of using Aleph. Gematria, Mem He. So Ma is the Nishtana. It's the 45, it's the expression of Hashem's name in the Miloy with an Aleph that expresses the idea of the abundance of light in the world that's different about this night. So Ma is Nishtana. It's the Mem Hey. It should have been Ben. It should be Nun Beis or Beis Nun or however you want to say it. That's tonight. But it's not. It's the 45. It's the expression of Teferis, of this illumination of Hashem's Yudke Vavke, as Teferis, which is a higher realm in the structure of the Spheros that you have on this night, different than other nights. So that's why it's like a very cute, but I guess it's the Ma that's Nishtana. Yeah. Seeing if where he pulls it from. Who's right, he said he quotes the Rav HaMakubal HaGadol Baal Bris Kehunas Olam. Al Sheilas HaBen Shesho B'Lashon Ma Nishtana HaLayla Zeh Ki B'Chalos Hashana Heina Layla Hi B'Bechinas Nukva Shem Ben. Right, the receiving. V'yom hu chibur haduchra mem hei. V'nei halayla hazeh misparo mem hei ben. Ki halayla hazeh nishtana mikol leila shemitchaber mem hei im ben. So here, in the side here, he's saying it's a little bit, he's twisting it, and he's saying a little bit different. He's saying it's the mem hei that comes together with the ben. But it's the ben that asks, what is this ma? That it's ma, he's asking, ma nishtana halayla zeh. Right, so this is a night that illuminates like a day. And that's why we have this idea that they would actually light a candle and call it the Ner of the Ma Nishtana. Okay, so Kabbalistic.
And then we have a full moon around Pesach.
We do. We actually do, right? That's also.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. One of the things that's weird is that when you talk about the night of Pesach, it corresponds to Tisha B'Av, which is also very interesting. On the At Bash, the night of whatever night the first night of the Seder comes out, first night of Pesach corresponds, that will be the day that Tisha B'Av comes out during the year as well.
Right. That's why we had.
That's why we have the egg. That's why people think of the egg. There's a certain element of avelos at the night of the Seder. This roel, okay, because that's zecher lechorban. But there's a connection between the first night of Pesach and Tisha B'Av, which in a way
Mashiach is born on
Tisha B'Av. Yeah. But you see that there's something, what here he's saying, I mean, it's a little bit easier to read into this if you're saying that we're trying to experience two extremes.
Yeah.
The other extreme would be Tisha B'Av, right? I mean, that's the darkest night of the year. And at the night of the Seder, there's a little bit of a taste of that. But like, think about it. When you're at the Seder and you really want to connect to what it was like, you start telling Holocaust stories about the Shibud. I mean, just it really brings it home because we can connect to that much more easily than thinking about, you know, what happened thousands of years ago as slaves in Egypt, you know?
And a Tisha B'Av will be a big youngster.
Correct. Look, I mean, there's, you know, it's, you know, so you have this abundance of light and then there was a lack thereof. And, you know, we go through this, but I thought the beautiful thing that he's saying here is that there is a need to go through this process. The fact that he had this unusual, you know, night of where Hashem jumped the process, therefore Pesach, he jumped over the process. But we need to ultimately get back to that. We can't not go through the process. We all need to go through a process of development in order to continue to get to that place of clarity, right? So that's the quest. We're on a quest for clarity.
You need to earn it.
Yeah. You can't just
be a free gift.
Correct. He's clear, right? He's saying that here. So that's why it's like the fact that Hashem jumps the process is an act of love. The fact that we jumped in and went with and just said, okay, let's bring the matzah, let's take it off the oven and run, is our corresponding act of love. So it's a night of love. That's why we say Shir Hashirim is at the end. When no one has strength at the end, we're all drunk or whatever. I mean, like, but the idea of after really experiencing a Seder is to go and say, I want to say Shir Hashirim. I want to talk to God about how much I love him. It's like the love song after, because that's what this is all really about. It's about love.
Wait. So one more thing. When Bnei Yisrael went into Mitzrayim with 70 people, supposedly we were at one of the highest
Madrigals. So how did we go from one of the highest Madrigals with the 70 people to where the lowest Madrigals? Like, how many generations was that?
Four. Not even four. Whatever it is. I mean, no, it's more than four. Well, yeah, I'm thinking of something else that says that Hashem at the Brisbane of Sarum says it's going to be the fourth generation, whatever that meant. That's the point, is that when you're cut off, if you go into a place of Gullus Hadas, where first of all, we couldn't think straight. Think about it. I mean, we live in a time you can't. We don't think straight. Like you get if you jump into the culture of today, you can't even think. Like where do you, so it's not hard for me to understand, you know.
It was four generations.
But the question is how you count generations. That's the thing. Because really, every 20 years is a generation, right? Right. If you're 20.
It was 40. It's Moshe. It's four.
What is it? Right, so if you're Yocheved, so yeah, but within that time period, there were multiple, you know, so, but yeah, that's the question, how you count the generations, right? But,
how many years,
they were there for 210 years, okay? From the time that Yaakov and the sons came down, there was 210 years, okay? But Yocheved lives a long life. She has Moshe at an older age. She was born when they came in through the gates, right? She's born there. So, and she's 130, I think. That makes sense? 130 when Moshe's born and they take him out. Or is it 120? No, it's 130, right? Because Moshe's 80 years old when the Jewish people leave, right? 130, and then Moshe's 80, right? And Moshe, yeah. So, you're talking about a 200, and then the question is, how long was the actual hardship and servitude? Depends. It depends how you figure it out. Anywhere between, could be the 80 years, right? Moshe was born, it was already getting rough, right? They see that they started throwing the Jewish boys into the Nile, so things were starting to get bad. So maybe it was just 80 years of difficulty. Yeah, I mean, Things, yeah.
It was 86 years, right?
What? That what?
The servitude was very...
Well, because what? That they separated? That even when Miriam was born, it was already...
Yeah, that's why she told Moshe and
Amram
that they're going to
divorce. Right. Yeah, who knows? I mean, again, that was the first decree. Meaning, when did things get really rough? It didn't happen instantaneously. Havan is Chakmalo is that he's saying we're going to start this process. It didn't necessarily, you know, if anything, it could be that when Moshe went to talk to Paro for the first time, that things really got rough, you know, the real Shibud. I mean, they were being enslaved, okay, but the real hardcore stuff, and that's what Hashem says to Moshe. Yeah, Atatara, you'll see now. You know, but it was you know, so there was definitely a progression, but what really was going on is that the Jewish people were completely in darkness. We were in a bad place. The way he's saying it is that we were cut off completely from any type of spiritual energy. That's the scariest thing, you know. You think about it; it's like a very ominous. Which again, if you talk to people about what Europe was like in the 1940s, I mean, it went from a place, and it'd say that the Chafetz Chaim, he went, I think he passed away in the early 30s, right? I think he died in 1930s, early 30s, I think, to double check that. But he already said he was telling people that there's something bad coming, and even the other Gedolim that sensed. So how do they sense it? Because in the spiritual realm, there was a certain block that must have come in that they were feeling. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So this is the night of contrast, right? It's the go from the extremes. And in that process of extremes, we can sense the tremendous light. So you should be Zocha. Yeah? You're going to say something?
In the beginning, talk about we were idol worshippers.
Right? And then, it's a process of down and then up. God willing, we should be zoche to see the great light. And this time, maybe we'll have the kalim, the vessels, to be able to really take it all in. So I guess if we, the more we prepare for the night, so that we really like hold on to it, so then we'll see each other. We're like, wow, you're looking like you're glowing. That means we did a good job, right? So we should all be zoche to have the glow, and that in that way we should be zoche to see the Geula Shleima. All right.